Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. You happy to be in church?
Yes.
I am so excited to be in church. I'm excited for the, it's cooler in here today. That's nice. Amen. I got to do a funeral this week in like 90 degree weather, and it was outside in the sun. Wasn't here, obviously. But I was in a suit. And I'm going to tell you, I will never complain about preaching in a hot room again. Unless it's in a sauna, hallelujah. But that was an interesting experience. I thought I'd been saturated before, but I was completely saturated and anointed this time. Amen. And praise the Lord. Glory to God. Rivers of living water were flowing out of every pore. Hallelujah. But God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you this, when you think you got something to complain about, God will let you see reasons why you didn't have anything to complain about. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Today's message, I am really excited for. Some of the scriptures that we're going to go to have been some of those that God, I just keep hearing over and over in my spirit. And so I believe that the Lord, with all my heart, that the Lord is bringing them to us today. Amen. But today's message is called Judgment or Consequence. And if you read our Faith Fixes, probably remember this. It'll actually had to go back and see, was it a message I taught called Judgment or Consequence? Because I was having a hard time coming up with a name for the sermon, and I honestly kept hearing this in my spirit. I was like, that sounds so familiar. Did I just preach on this? And then, no, it was a Faith Fix about the beginning of September, somewhere in there. I guess kind of maybe similar. I wrote it, but it was kind of similar in thought. But this is a different way. We're going to go different scriptures. Amen. But I'm really excited about this because some of the things that we're going to get into today really are going to help us. They're going to help us with they're going to help us with dispelling some myths. Amen.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. One of the major things we're going to deal with is religious superstition. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Religious superstition. We're going to find out what that's all about. Amen. But we're also going to see why sometimes prayer doesn't seem to fix things. Or sometimes why we don't get the things that we've prayed for, amen? And we're going to see them in context to these things. And of course, judgment or consequence, we have to understand that there is a, God is a righteous God. He is a God of justice. He does pour out judgment sometimes, amen? But so often, because people have mixed what the, they mix scriptures in the wrong way kind of thing, that they believe that something is God's judgment. Have you ever been there? Have you ever done something bad and then you expect, and then maybe something bad has happened, or maybe you did something a little off and something bad has happened and you thought, oh, that's because I did this. That's just God's judgment for doing this. How many know that that's generally not true? Seriously, it's not true. God isn't looking to just zap you every single time you do something wrong. Amen. We should be thankful for that. Hallelujah. God is not looking to destroy you at every turn just because you screwed up. Praise the Lord. If that was the case, I'd be a lot shorter than I am. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm thinking I was this short just because I screwed up a lot, maybe, and I did get something. But no, I'm just kidding. That's not the way it works. But God is not looking to judge you on everything. But we understand that there is a judgment. We need to be aware of this. We will stand before the Lord, and we will be judged according to everything we say and do on the earth. That is truth. Amen. But God's judgment isn't always being poured out. His wrath isn't being poured out on us. And I think we'll see that more in Scripture as we go. Amen. But something that we do understand, and I've been saying this a lot, that the Bible is a book of instructions. And the reason that one would instruct you is someone would instruct you. Now, you have to forgive me if I took a bite of a turnover last night that had been nuked only for 20 seconds, but apparently our microwave was working really well. And I've got this giant blister on the top of my mouth right now. It doesn't hurt, but it's weird. You know what I mean? I keep saying, what's that in there? I keep thinking that. What's that thing? So if something comes out weird, I'm blaming on that today. So, amen? Praise the Lord. But anyways, consequence. There is a thing called consequence. When we have instruction often will keep us, or God's instruction is meant to keep us from certain consequences. Amen? And we're going to balance all this out with the Word, and we're going to see it here. I've got actually a lot of definitions I'm excited to get into. Amen? And praise God. Hallelujah. Being a Christian, having access to God in prayer, being surrounded by an innumerable company of angels, does not exempt us from life.
Yeah.
Amen. This is an important thing for us to understand. Praise the Lord. These things give us the ability to navigate life with the best possible outcome. Right. It gives us hope. And we know that biblical hope is expectation. Amen. Let's say that one more time. Being a Christian, having access to God in prayer. All these things, you know, if you're a Christian, you have access to God in prayer. Being surrounded by an innumerable company of angels does not exempt us from life. We have to understand that. We have to be okay with that. We have to settle that in our hearts. What does that mean? It means that sometimes bad things are going to happen.
Yeah.
And you got to be okay with that.
Yeah.
I said sometimes bad things are going to happen and you got to be okay with that. We've got to be okay with the fact that everything isn't always seeming hunky-dory. Amen? But we have an expectation, or we should have an expectation, that even though we may have a bad day, even though we may have a bad hour, that there is something that we have to look forward to on the other side. I'm going to tell you what. I don't know about you, but I've faced impossible grief before. I've faced impossible situations before. The only thing that has ever got me through, the only thing that was ever put me over to the other side, was the knowledge that God will still work in my life. Amen. That He is still trying to get me somewhere. And if you can hold on to that hope, praise the Lord, that will take you further. There's times I've seen it. I mean, we've done counseling appointments. We've done, meeting with friends. And there's times where you stand with somebody and you know that there's nothing you can say. Maybe somebody's grieving a loss or something like that. And maybe it's a loss that's impossible to get beyond. You know what I'm talking about? Where you know that there's just no way you could get beyond it. In your heart, your mind, you're assured of that. Like, not to say that God says you can't get beyond it, but in everything that you feel on the inside, you just can't get beyond. You just know that you never will.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this is the thing we know. If we press through, if we hold on with God, He will always see us through.
Yeah.
The only thing that stops a Christian is a Christian who stops.
That's right.
With God. Amen? The only thing that stops a Christian is a Christian that stops with God. God will never, He will never let you complete. Amen. I said He never will. Praise the Lord. As a Christian who desires Him. So let's go ahead and turn to our first scripture. We're going to go to Proverbs. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 4. And we're going to get our first instruction here today. Proverbs 4 and 23. Praise God. Hallelujah. It says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Amen. You know, one version says, from it flows the issues of life. We get the same understanding there. Amen. Watch over your heart with all diligence. Again, the instruction is to the reader, and the reader is us. We are to watch over our heart with all diligence. God is not watching over our heart. God is not protecting. He's not protecting so much our heart. Praise the Lord, but He's told us to do it. Amen? Because out of our heart flows the springs of life, or the issues of life. Everything that in life that will be our life flows from that place, which is our heart.
Right.
Now, you may look at your life and say, well, I've got a lot of circumstances that have gotten me where I am at. And I will give you this. Circumstances can put you in a position, right? If you're not knowledgeable. If you don't know that they will. You know, the Bible teaches us that no matter what circumstance comes against us, we can overcome it. And if the Bible teaches us that, and the Bible is true, which I believe it is, I know it is, and you know it is too, if the Bible teaches that every circumstance is able to be overcome by the Christian, by the believer, then we have to understand that there is that every circumstance is able to be overcome. That we are never in a position that we have to stay in. Praise the Lord. I said we are never in a position that we have to stay in. Now see, this bothers some people because some people want to be able to say, they want to be able to blame something. I want to be able to say the reason I'm stuck here is because of my circumstance. And that's true if you're in the world. And that's because if you're in the world, you don't know the word. And if you don't know the word, you don't know the truth. And if you don't know the truth, you can't be set free. Praise the Lord. The Bible tells us differently. We can tap into something on the inside of us as believers. And if you're not a believer, praise the Lord. I look around. I think I know everybody in here, or most everybody in here. I'm going, yep. I know everybody in here, praise the Lord. I think you're all pretty much believers, right?
Yeah.
Glory to God. And so if you're a believer, then there's nothing that has to trap you. But it is how we look at it. And this is why the Bible tells us to watch over our heart with all diligence. I was actually the way this sermon was going to go. And that's probably why I didn't know the name. I actually had a whole nother sermon prepared with a whole nother set of scriptures. But you remember, I talked to you about how the Spirit of God has dealt with me recently and showed me about being too full of the wrong thing. That's what this is. Watching over your heart is making sure you're not too full of the wrong thing. You know, recently I was watching a show, and as I was watching the show, I started sensing in me that there was something off about it.
Yeah.
And what was off about it wasn't what you think it would have been.
Yeah.
It was something completely different.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to go into all those details because it doesn't really matter, but the point that I'm trying to make is as I was watching it, my heart was being smoted because I knew that the wrong thing was getting in. See, if we open the door to the wrong thing, whether it's through a TV show, whether it's through conversations, whether it's being somewhere that you shouldn't be, you know, the Holy Spirit will deal with us on all those things. So if we're not watching over, we have to understand that our heart is not fragile in the sense that it's just breakable. Oh, you break your heart that quickly, because a Christian's heart shouldn't be breakable like that. But it is influenced. And the reason that it's influenced is because the devil is trying to get access to your life through your heart.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. And so if you get an affection for the wrong thing, we all know this. We've all had that. Have you ever had an affection for someone you knew was the wrong person? I've had so many relationships I've looked at, and I'm like, it goes right back to the beginning. There ain't no fix, because if you go back to the beginning told them that relationship wasn't right. But they had an affection for it. And so they had a draw to it. And because they didn't deal with that, they didn't watch over their heart, they allowed their heart to be opened up to it. And then later on, when they want it fixed, it's not getting fixed. Because it was wrong in the beginning.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
And this is why it's important to walk closely with the Lord. Because as we walk close with God, as we endeavor to walk closely with Him, we'll be able to sense those things more and more and more and be able to filter them out. Amen? We need to filter our heart. We need to filter what's going on. But if we listen to a lot of the wrong kind of music, guess what happens? Yeah. Absolutely. If we're not in the, if we're more in the world than we're in the church, why do we encourage people to be in church? Because we want numbers, right? No, because if you're not, listen, I've had people come to me that haven't been in church for a while and they have all kinds of problems going on in their life. And the first thing I have to tell them is, yes, you haven't been in church. And if you're not in church, you're not getting that impartation that comes to you through being in church. Amen. Now, it matters where you go. Obviously, you want to be in the right place where God would have you. But the reason that we congregate together, the reason that we make that available is because of what it does to the heart. It helps the heart when you get fed. I mean, I don't think I've talked to one person who's missed a service that's even somewhat faithful and hasn't said to me at some point, many of you have said this to me, that when you were out for a week or two or 2 weeks or whatever, you felt it.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think that is? It's your heart being affected.
Yeah.
What is that? That's a warning sign.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I was staying with a friend recently, and they put me in the one kid's room. He's a 9-year-old. Praise the Lord. Sweet kid, I love him. I show him a picture. I have a picture of, I told him, I said, have you ever seen Bigfoot? And he said, no. I said, I have. I got evidence. He goes, no, you don't. A 9-year-old, right? I love it. He's like, no, you don't. I said, yes, I do. And I got a picture of my phone with me being scared with Bigfoot outside the window. Real Bigfoot, right? Praise the Lord. Ask me to see it. Show it to you. I'll show it to you. Amen. And so I pull it up and I show it him. He goes, that's not Bigfoot. That's your wife in a suit. He said. I mean, I know she's Italian, but she ain't that hairy. Praise the Lord. She's less Italian. Praise God. I kind of starting to look like Bigfoot in my old. I don't know what's going on there, but amen. Whatever. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Where was I going with that? Oh, I know where I was going with that. I was, and he's got this bank in his room. And he asked me if I saw it. I said, yeah, it was a nice bank on his desk. And it was, it's like a mock ATM or something like that. And you could put money into it. which is weird because don't you take money out of an ATM? I don't know how, but anyway, but anyway, at 3:30 the other morning, all of a sudden, some alarm on that bank went off. I thought somebody was breaking in. I thought there was Rob coming out. I'm like, what's going on, you know? And then I'm thinking it's going to wake up everybody in the house. And I was freaked out. You know, it's kind of like when your alarm goes off, you don't want to wake everyone up. But I'm like, why do I care? I didn't set the alarm. You know what I mean? This is someone else's fault. But I'm punching buttons and everything, trying to figure out this. Finally, I found one. I couldn't tell you which one it was, but finally I found one to turn it off. Why do I tell you that story? Because when the alarm goes off, it wakes you up. Amen. You're like, oh, got to do something. I didn't just lay there and go, you know, Cassie's a low alarm. My dog, the kids somehow don't hear it, even though she's in her room or his room. She's not allowed to sleep with us. But she's in one of the rooms, and in the middle of the night, she decides she has to go to the bathroom. She starts yelping. And you hear I always hear the first one, and I always ignore it. And then I hear the second one, hope that one will go away. But the thing that I always remember is it's not going to go away. It's an alarm. Well, the same thing is with our hearts. There'll be things that will alarm us and alert us. And when we sense, man, if we have that sense something's not right, we need to fix that. That's not just saying, oh, something's not right. That anyways, go through life with a not right. It's like, no, that alarm's going off on the inside of you to get you to do something. Praise the Lord. Now, you can ignore that alarm, as Caleb does and Ezra does. They can ignore that alarm for a time. Amen. Well, they actually blocked out really good. But they're also going to be mad if they wake up and they step in something because the dog wasn't let out in the middle of the night. And see, the same way is with a Christian. When that alarm goes off in our hearts, we can callous our hearts so we can sleep through the alarm. You can do that. But if you start doing that, what we need to do is when we start getting that on the inside of us, I started turning to God. Lord, what's going on here? Why is this? You know, and my wife, I could attest to this. This week, there's been some things, you know, I had to be apart from them for a few days, and there was some, just kind of, we were both sensing the same thing. It was almost like, you know, impending doom or something like that. It was something on the inside of both of us that had us uneasy, and we still haven't fully gotten to the bottom of it yet. You know, sometimes those things will come, but that's an alarm to us to seek God and what it is, not just lay around feeling miserable. Amen. And so God has given us this ability to do this. And so watch over our hearts. Praise the Lord. I wrote this down. What we allow in over time will define us. The thoughts that we allow to become life processes. You know what I mean? We all know that you have a thought. You may have a thought to do this or that. Maybe it's bad or whatever. And you know that the first thought, you just don't act on it, right? Even first thoughts of something good, you don't always act on it. But we have to understand that the thoughts that we allow in, they become the thing in our life. And this is why it's so important to deal with ungodly thoughts. That's why it's important to know the Word. Because when you hear something you don't, even if you don't like it, say you hear something in church that you don't like because it maybe rubs against the situation you're in or kind of inflames it or whatever, you have to embrace that, because if you don't, what you do is you side with the wrong thought. And that's why we're told to embrace God's thoughts over our thoughts. So when our thoughts don't line up with the Word, and we know when those aren't, because you'll come and talk to me, and then we get in a back and forth because those thoughts, something's off in those thoughts. We need to make those align right, because if we embrace them, what happens is they define us. They become who we are, and then they callous us to those kinds of alarms. Amen? And so that'll help us. Praise the Lord. Now we're going to get into some heart of this message, the scriptures that I told you were playing over my heart. Turn with me to James. Now, James 1, and these scriptures aren't going to be unfamiliar to you. Even this year, I've been in them several times, at least in each church, I think. But we're gonna dig into these just a little bit deeper today, amen? Because God was, you know, the way the Lord works in me is He will generally, God always first speaks to me through a scripture. And what I mean by that is a scripture starts coming up in my spirit. I start hearing it playing over and over in my spirit. And, you know, if you've been coming on Tuesdays or following Tuesdays, you know I've been talking a lot about learning the leading of God and understanding the leading of God. Well, one of the truths that we can say, if the word is being spoken to us, that's a good indication that it might be God speaking to us. Amen? Now, we do know that Satan has spoken the word too, because he spoke the word to Jesus. But that's why we need to understand the context and everything. Amen? But when it's trying to make you better, when it's trying to help people, yeah, it probably is not the devil. Just learn that, because he doesn't want to help us. Amen? So we're going to see James 1 here, James 1, verse 12. We're going to start down there. It says, blessed is the man or woman, right, who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now, when I read scripture, I instantly think of another scripture over there in Romans. So let's go ahead and pull that up. Romans 8, 28. Praise the Lord. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. That's an important, very important part of this scripture and this instruction. Amen. To those who love God. What did Jesus say? He said, if you love me, you will do what I tell you to do. You'll keep my commandments. Amen. And so that means that you would adhere to his instruction. That maybe you're not perfect at fulfilling his instruction, but your desire is to fulfill his instruction. I am not perfect at fulfilling God's instruction. I'm just going to tell you that right now. I'm not even close, but I have a desire to be. I plead with the Lord often. I go before the Lord often and say, Lord, I just want to do this better. I just want to hear you more. I just want to make sure that I'm in that. And not from a place of desperation, like I can't get there, but just from a place of letting him know that this is really my heart. And if it's not my heart, sometimes I know it's not my heart, or he shows me it's not my heart. And then I go to him and I say, but Lord, I want it to be my heart. Amen. And see, that's the battle. This is the fight of faith that we have to fight. See, people are out fighting the devil, and the only thing they need to fight is the fight of faith. Yes. You ain't got to fight the devil. You just keep yourself in the word of God. You keep yourself in the fight of faith. Yeah. You keep yourself in faith, and the devil can't touch you. Amen. He won't be able to touch you. Even though he'll throw things at you, it won't destroy you. It won't knock you off course. See, so many people are fighting the wrong spiritual battle. The spiritual battle you need to fight, the only one you need to fight, is the one that wars on the inside of you. Yeah. And that's to keep yourself in the love of God, in the faith. Amen. So all things, God causes all things to work together for good. That's important. That doesn't mean that all things are going to start off good. It means that he's going to cause all things to work for good. Yeah. And so whatever comes at you, the promise the scripture gives you is that if you love God, if you're following after him, if you desire him working in your life, if you desire his way above your way, what he promises you is even those days that have adversity, even those days that knock you down, even those days that are pressing on you, you're not crushed, but you're pressed, even those days where it says a faithful man or a just man will fall seven times. Yeah. What does that mean? It means you kicked right to the ground. You were knocked down. Paul was beaten within inches of his life. But the thing he knew, because he wrote this, is that it didn't matter what happened to him, God would cause it to work out. He would cause it to work out if you love him. Well, what does it mean if you love? You can sit there and say, well, I love God, but don't do what he says. And you don't love him. God says you prove your love for him by how you follow him, how you desire to follow him. Listen, and again, it's not just the perfection. Oh, I didn't follow God perfectly. Zap me. Right? That's not what he's saying. He's waiting for you. He's encouraging you. There's a spirit of condemnation, but that does not come from God. Was it Romans 8:1 tells us there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit? What is walking according to the Spirit? It's walking according to the word. So we follow God's instruction. We see all that stuff packed in here, right? To those who are called according to his purpose. Do we have any called in here? Amen. Amen. And it sounded like a good amen. I don't know if it was all of you, but all of you should have at least thought it. Amen. Praise the Lord, because you are called. Amen. So we need to understand, it doesn't mean you're all called to something specific, but it means you're all called to Him. And that's what matters. Amen. This isn't written. This is the wonderful thing about this scripture. It isn't written to just those who are called to ministry. This is those who are called according to His purpose. Well, what's His purpose? That's in His plan. What's in His plan? Whatever He's got for you to do. Amen? So it doesn't matter what it is. This is why I love being in the plan of God, because in the plan of God, it doesn't matter. None of the outside circumstances matter. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter what the economy is like. It doesn't matter who's president or who's not president. It doesn't matter who's running the state. Praise the Lord. We've had some fools running our state. I'm just going to tell you the truth if you don't believe me. It's the truth. Or maybe they're not so much fools, they know what they're doing. But it's foolishness for me. It's foolishness compared to how I know we have to live. But you know something? I'm still blessed. I said, I'm still blessed. And it doesn't matter what they do or what they don't do. Do I pray for them? Sure, I pray for them. But I don't really care so much what they, you know. We had a governor this week that wants people to be her apostles or something like that. And I'm an apostle. I'm not an apostle. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I don't need to follow anybody else. I don't need to follow a governor, the president, or anyone else, and nor will I. And I'm also not going to be moved. What'd she want to be apostles of? I'm going to tell you the truth. This is how I don't care anymore. Don't listen to the news. I don't even know what she was talking about. I just saw that. I don't care about that. It doesn't matter to me. Why? Because I'm moved by the Spirit of God. Amen? And that's how I endeavor to be. And you endeavor to be too. Amen? So wait a minute, the Spirit's coming on me. When the pastor can't talk, he just goes into praying in tongues. That's what's great about being in the kind of church we're in. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's a joke. I'm not making light of either. Hallelujah. Do you know when I was a kid, the reason I said that was joking around when I said, when my wife was doing announcements and I said, I came as Satan, you know. The reason I joke, because I probably would have done something like that when I was a kid. So we always gotta make provision. I don't know if we have any kids in here that are quite like that, but don't do it. Because you will be cast out. Hallelujah. What's that? Yep. Praise God, hallelujah. Okay. So anyways, back here to verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. That's good to know. That takes a lot of weight off our, should take a lot of weight off our shoulders. Really? Wow. Praise the Lord. I wasn't looking at you guys weird, like, you know, so the clock is between me and you, Tammy. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. She's like, I know. Just keep going, Pastor. verse 14. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Amen. Now, Lord, there's things that you showed me in this, and I want, I'm asking you to help me get back into that. Amen. Verse 13, carried away. Hallelujah. Or verse 14, carried away. This literally means it's like when game is lured out of its hiding place. That's what it is to be carried away. When game, like in hunting, that's how this term is used. So obviously, you know, it's like when the hunter has done something that would entice, would draw that animal out from its place of safety into a place of being caught. Amen. This reminded me of Psalm 91:4. Praise the Lord. We're just gonna bring it up here. He will cover you with his pinions or his wings, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. So this is a promise in the Bible. The 91st Psalm is really great for this, right? And under his wings you may seek refuge. He will cover you under his wings. He will cover you. He will protect you. Now, a lot of people look at the scripture and they say, like, you'll give this to people in times of trouble or whatever, and they'll look at this and they'll say, but I've been in trouble. See, think about it in terms of verse 14 about being carried away, being lured out of our place of hiding, our place of refuge. See, it's the same thing when an animal, my mom's dog recently, she's a miniature dachshund, a wiener dog, right? And they're like this long, right? This tall. And her oldest one injured her back, and that's a common thing for dachshunds to do. And my mom was telling me that because she has another one that's got some issues. What's that?
Rambunctious.
That's not a good word for it. More like touched. Touched. She's special. Mom calls her special. She's a special dog. She's always nervous. She's scared of everything. I think I told you that before. But she's also rambunctious. So that was a good word, actually. Yeah, she got it. But she's, you know, she's real. But the other dog knows this as well. And she's injured. So what she does is when she's injured, she goes and hides under the bed. She's going to that place of refuge. Why? Because she knows that the other one, Mabel's out there ready to pounce on her, ready to bump into her, ready to push her, ready to do whatever Mabel's going to do. Maybe just have some fits, you know. And if she's too close, she'll be charged with the fits or hit with the fits or, you know, putting on the fits. Amen. Whatever. Glory to God. And so she knows that she's got to protect herself from these things, right? And so she goes. She stays in that place of refuge. But the danger would come was she comes out from underneath that.
Yeah.
Do you know with the Lord, it's the same thing. Even though he's promised that he will protect us, he's given us the guidelines on how we fall into that protection. Right. As Christians, we can be lured out. And this is what we see here happening in verse 14. Each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. So we understand this, like the devil, if the devil's enticing us, he isn't even tempting us with, he's not tempting us with whatever. He's drawing us out with the thing that tempts us, with our own lust. This is an important thing to understand. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And now, and this is where we really start getting into the consequence aspect of this. Is because we start, you know, in life when we don't know these things. And granted, I've known Christians that haven't known these things. As a Christian, I haven't known some of these things. And so the knowledge is everything, right? Knowledge is power. What we know will help us, or what we don't know can't hurt us. We know that according to Hosea 4:6. Yeah, it's been a while. Praise the Lord. Hosea 4:6. Which says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. That means because they're refusing knowledge. That's what he goes on to say, because you've refused, you know, because they're refusing knowledge, they're refusing the truth. What's happening is they're going against what the truth says, and they're stepping out from this place of, well, that place of protection in Psalm 91. Amen. Look how easy. Think about this. And if you have any bit of imagination, look how easy it is to be drawn out from what God has from us. It's just that easy. All the devil has to do is get you hooked on a desire. That's all he has to do. It can be one thing, just one little hook. And if that's enough to lure you, that's enough to get you. Amen? Now, if we think about this in terms of big fish and little fish, you know, if you have a shark and you have a little hook like this, I've seen tackle boxes with just a little tiny hook, you know, something you might catch sunfish with or a little perch with or something. You're not going to catch a shark with that. A little hook and a little line, it'll break it instantly. It might not even know that it's there, right? But a little fish can be caught real easy. I remember we had a pond where at my mom's place that the fish were so easy to catch. And you didn't even have to put bait on the end of that. You just dip the hook in the water, they bite it, and you pull them up. It was that easy. I mean, you just stood up. Now, none of those fish were going to feed anybody, right? None of those fish were strong. Nobody would look at that and say, oh, that's one that we got to get mounted. You know what I mean? A little fish this long or whatever. You not look at that. What would you do with that fish? You'd use it for bait for other fish, bigger fish, the ones that you're going to mount. Well, the same thing is with a Christian. You can be a big Christian on the inside, and it's going to take really some serious bait to get you.
Yeah.
Or you can be a little Christian and bite onto everything. Every little feeling you got, every little thought you got. This is my thought, so I'm going to go there. Swim, bite the hook, and there you go. Not even any bait. And sometimes the devil has an easy job with us as Christians because he's just dipping in. And I'll just be honest with you, the modern day Christian, This is the hallmark of the modern day Christian.
Yes.
You know, again, a fish this big might not, or this big wouldn't seem like a real wall mounter, but in the world of today's Christianity, a fish this big is huge. You might as well have caught a whale.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. That's the truth of it. You know, and we're biting on the little things, but it's our own loss. Christians have gotten, we have been so saturated with this mindset of just giving into the flesh with anything that we want.
Yeah.
See, the Lord was showing that this week. I was put in a position of something specific that made me less than comfortable. And I was talking to my wife about it. And I said to her, but I've realized something. I need to work at not being so comfortable all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We're living a pretty good life now. And what I mean by that is we can afford to have some comforts in our life. We got two bathrooms. Two bathrooms in our house.
Praise God.
Do you know who does not get? Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. You know who does not get to use our bathroom? Anybody other than me and her. And if it were up to me, I'd have my own bathroom. If it were up to her, she'd have her own bathroom. Amen. We're not that prosperous yet. We're not quite there yet. But you know that there's something that's a comfort, and I don't want nobody else using my bathroom, and I don't want to use nobody else's bathroom. Amen. You know, that's just a goofy example, but we all can understand it. I think relate to it. But there's lots of things like that. We have ways that we do things in our house. I have my clothes in a certain spot. I have a certain routine. I was talking with a friend this week, and he's like, I have a routine, and I have to follow it like to a T. I got to follow it just like that, or it throws my whole day off. You know, what is that? And I'm not saying that's bad. I'm not saying he's bad or whatever, because we all certainly get those. But every once in a while, what I'm saying is we need a wake-up call.
Yeah.
That the world doesn't revolve around us. And that sometimes if we're in a little bit of an uncomfortable position, that's okay. In fact, if we are real mature, we can actually take uncomfortable situations, even really uncomfortable situations, and grow by them. We can be better Christians. We can be those Christians that the devil really wants to get, because he takes big bait. But how many know that when there's big bait that has to be got, amen, there's more power there too. See, and that's the whole thing. Praise the Lord. People don't go deep sea sunfish fishing with a little sunfish. I mean, I did see there's sunfish out in the ocean. They're 7 feet.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, crazy huge. Somebody's called my bluff. I can feel it, but it's true. I saw it. And the internet would not lie to me. YouTube is the truth. Praise God. But I believe, but I'm talking about little sunfish, like you get out here. You know, kids go out and play with them or whatever. But there's no tournament. Thank God, thank you, Lord. I believe you brought that back up to me, because I really wanted to talk about this. Amen. Does anyone remember Tangle Free Tom?
No.
Tangle Free Tom. Nobody remembers him. When I was a kid, they started doing this thing they called the crapathon. Crapathon, crapathon, crappy-thon. They were catching crappies. They were fishing in the... Well, that doesn't help either. I was going to say they're fishing in the lake, not a toilet, but that doesn't matter either, because sometimes the lake reminds us of a toilet. But they were fishing in the lake, and there's a certain fish called a crappie, and they had this one with a bounty on his head. I think it was 20 grand or something like that, wasn't it? And the first, and what they did was they caught this fish. He was it was a crappie fish, and they put a tag on him, and they released him back into the water. And that tag let you know that was Tangle Free. And if you caught Tangle Free Tom and got him to wherever you went to get the reward for him, you got 20, like I think it was like 20 grand back in the day. I remember as a kid being like, wow, that's cool. And I think, how do they do all that, you know? They just release him back in the lake. Well, of course, everybody went out and wanted to catch this fish. And I think it was several years, I think, that he went and he didn't get caught. Finally, he got caught. But what was that? He was not biting everybody's bait. You know, certainly he was out there fishing around, but you know, and that's exactly you know what happens with us is we can be quick to bite, but we're not going to be very desirable if we're quick to bite. If you're quick to bite the bait, amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. And so the word enticed is literally bait. That's what it is. And so I love that it uses these terms here, to be carried away or to be lured out, and then also as bait. And so the devil is looking to use your bait, the bait that will get you. I think Jack could tell you probably the truth. He's a fisherman. He goes out there and catches walleye and sometimes other things as well, bags. I told you we caught a bag when we were out there. But different fish, you catch them with different things. Why? Because bait gets certain things and not others. Or it gets certain things better than others. Sometimes there are fish that will bite onto anything, amen? And those are the stupid fish, amen? Well, we don't want to be stupid fish. Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men, right? What did he say? To one of the disciples, praise the Lord, Peter, I think. And if not, it sounds good. Was it Peter?
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I think my Bible school students, praise the Lord. But he's going to make you fishers of men. What does that mean? He's going to catch people. That's what we're to do. We're to catch people. We have to have the right bait to catch people. And Satan has bait too. Amen. And that's what he's luring them away from. Amen.
Yeah.
Of course, that luring is for destruction.
Yeah. Right.
Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Going on here, but each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. The word lust, I told you we're going to be defining some terms here today. The word lust is literally desire, craving, longing, desire for what is forbidden. I'm going to use my sister Erin here for example. Praise the Lord, don't get scared. It's a good thing. Just because I know. I love sushi. Love it. I mean, you put some sushi on my, you say, Pastor Jeff, you want to get a steak or a sushi? I'm picking sushi every time, right? Exactly. She picked a steak. Praise the Lord. Yeah. We get some that pick both. Praise the Lord. But my point is there's different things that draw us. There's a desire in each one of us. Like I start thinking about sushi, my mouth starts watering. I can get that way over a steak too, but she certainly can't get that way over sushi. And so you understand that there's, you know, the devil's going to use what gets you. And so we have to understand that temptation is based around our desires and the thing that's drawing us out from that protection of God. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And then it goes on, verse 15, and it says, then, everybody say then. Notice that means, or this points to the fact that this is a process, right?
Yes.
Listen, temptation comes. Are you bad because you're tempted?
No.
Nope. What is a temptation? That temptation is that burning desire in you for something. And when it's bad, it's a burning desire in you for something you know you shouldn't have, right? It's there. It's burning in you. Makes you feel dirty. If you're at all, I mean, if you've walked with God for a minute, temptation will make you feel dirty inside.
Yeah.
You'll want it, but it makes you feel disgusting. It'll make you feel so gross that you almost are ashamed that you even have that thought, but you want it so bad, praise the Lord, because it's something, it's a desire, right, that's in you.
Yes.
These are what the things in life that have to be crucified in the flesh. What that's doing is that's calling to you, but that doesn't mean that you've sinned yet.
Right.
Maybe you've started, you know, and you'll see this in fishing or anything else. You'll see it, you know, like I've seen videos before of fish, and they like come at something, maybe they watch it for a minute, and then they come at it and watch it. Maybe you're going to even be drawn that way a little bit, but you're feeling it pull you towards it, amen?
Yeah.
Listen, guys, that's the luring. And God has given us the Holy Spirit on the inside of us to do alarm, ding a ding a ding a ding a ding, no, stop. You know what I'm saying? Like whatever noise you want, but it's in you and it's telling you, you know, but you're being drawn. And the more thought you give it, the more you get drawn towards it. And you give a little more thought, you're getting drawn towards it more until finally you bite.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Then, when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. Notice the sin did not come with the lust. The sin came after the lust. Now I'm building on something here to explain something else to you, amen? Conceived means take hold, to seize. So when lust is taken hold, when it has seized you, right?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. It gives birth to sin. Now look at this. This is another step in the process. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Accomplished means perfected or finished. Again, this is a process of things. I installed a new door into our house this year. A door where there wasn't a door before. And this door, for whatever reason, I started noticing when it rains really hard, it's leaking inside the house. A little bit. Not a lot, but a little bit. And so then the question is, where is it leaking? You know, you got to find that leak. Now, some people might not think of it. They might just clean it up and you know, cover over it or whatever and not think much about it. But because I have a knowledge of building, I know what's going to happen. One leak ain't going to matter. Shoot, one summer of leaking ain't going to matter. One summer, one winter, two summers of leaking ain't going to matter. But over time, that leak is going to produce rot. And if that rot is allowed to go, if that leak is allowed to go, eventually that's going to be unfixable. It needs to be replaced.
Yeah.
This is what we see with sin in the life of people. You know, sometimes we're wondering where God is in the process, but if we followed this course of sin, we're like that leaky door. We're allowing that thing to come in and get into our life and get into our life and get into our life. And it can produce in you rot that cannot be removed. There are times, and see, sometimes what the trick about sin is this. You may sin, maybe you'll give in to that, and you bit that hook.
Yeah.
You took the bait, say one time, right? So you got caught up in it, and then you got out of it, but then you took it again.
Yeah.
You got caught up in it. See, all of a sudden there's this thought process that starts happening in the human mind that says, well, nothing happened, so I must be okay.
Yeah.
See, I see a little bit of water on the floor. That, nothing really happened. The floor is still solid.
Yeah.
Must be okay. But then it happens again, and it happens again. And this is the trap of sin. This is what happens. This is what I mean when it's fully accomplished, when it does fully the thing that it was trying to do.
Yeah.
After it's gotten way into you, after it's got its hooks into you, after you've taken the bait and you've embraced it, and then time and time and time again. So you're going to sit there thinking nothing has happened. Nothing has changed.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, someday, and it depends on the sin. Some sins, they have a short lifespan.
Yeah.
Some sins, I saw some, I knew a person who was caught up in this sin his entire life, into his 70s. It didn't affect him, and then all of a sudden it did. And there was no fix for it. I prayed, and when I prayed, I knew that nothing was gonna come of that prayer because there was no fix for it at that point. Now, for that person, I believe that they're in heaven. I believe that they had made that, you know, that step. And so thank God they're saved.
Yeah.
But there was so much more to do in life.
Yeah.
And yet they couldn't do it because, and there's times depending, and this is why sin has got to be addressed in us.
Yeah.
Because we have to understand that sin is not a matter of, see, there's times where God will not, like, could God's healing power have healed that person? Certainly it could have. But why wouldn't have? And this is the direction. This was a specific direction that I got. The Lord gave me specific direction because I sought him on it. And this is exactly the specific direction that I got. Because had that person been healed, they would have returned right back to the sin. You might not know that you would, but if God knows you would, he ain't delivering the thing to you that you were after. So this is why we have to take sin seriously. Sin isn't a matter of, oh, I screwed up, I ticked God off, and now I can get back on board. Sin is destructive.
Yes.
Sin causes death. Death only exists and it only reigns because of sin.
Yes.
That's the only reason. Now, not everybody who's died specifically sinned to die. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that we look at everyone who died and say, well, what did they do to sin? Or what did they, you know, sin is working in the human race. You understand?
That's right.
But sometimes sin can't get, you know, when sin has been embraced so much, we see this with addicts. This is something that, why is addiction so hard? Because addiction is so much part of the flesh. It has attached itself so much that it screams for that person to come back. And over time, it's going to do what it does. It causes death. That's why we see death. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. There is a difference between judgment and consequence. Will God remove consequences? Sometimes he will. But I have found that very rarely does he just remove consequences with all trace of it. And why does he do that? Because if sin has no sting, it will rule even in the lives of Christians.
Yeah, right.
And we'll all become fruitless. The effects of sin have to have sting so you don't go back to it. It's the age old, a little toddler wants to touch the stove and the mom smacks his hand. Doesn't like the smack. Some people think the smack is wrong, but we all know that the smack is better than a third degree burn. And if that's what it takes to stop it, you need a smack. That's why, again, this world, the teaching of this world, you don't punish anything. Don't punish anything. When you don't punish anything, you got a lot of people that will do anything and not care about anything, will please their flesh. They need to understand. Because the devil knows that a world that embraces anything will reject God. A world that embraces anything will not go with God. Amen?
Amen.
Romans 6:23. Go ahead and bring that up. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wage of sin. I love that he used wage. It's the wage. You know, in other translations, you know what it says? The wage, or the wages. The wages. Wages are earned. The wages are the consequence of working a full week or a partial week. If you worked half time this week and you get half a paycheck, you're going to be upset by that. You'll be unhappy that you got half a paycheck. But you have to remind yourself that if you would have worked full week, you would have got the full pay. That kind of lost in America as well today. But there is a truth to that. Amen. The wages of sin is death. What sin pays out is death. What is the death? Does it mean that the body will necessarily die? Well, eventually the body dies. We know that's a result of sin. But death can be many things. It can be destruction in your life, destruction in your finances, destruction in a marriage. Praise the Lord. We have seen marriages that have fallen apart simply because two people won't do the word. Do you know two Christians, two Bible-believing Christians, have no reason to ever get divorced? And what I mean by that is if two people will be fully in with God, that follow God, their divorce shouldn't even never be a thing. It won't ever need to be a thing. Why? Because if they both submit to one another, submitting yourself to one another alleviates a whole lot of trouble. It's only in the fight. Praise the Lord. And a fight is not what we're called to do. It's not submission. Amen. What is it, you know, I remember I used to watch wrestling. You'd see it in boxing probably too, or other sports, but I used to watch wrestling. You know, the real wrestling. Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant. Real wrestling, you know, the real wrestlers. And they would have a submission move. We always loved the submission moves. What were the submission moves? You're fighting and they're going at it back and forth, and none of it was staged. It was pretty real back in the 80s. And so we were watching it, and they were fighting and they're going back and forth. They'd be going for 15, 20 minutes. And they just had a knockdown, drag out fight, and then all of a sudden someone threw on the submission move, you know, a full Nelson or a punch to the face. That's a joke. Never mind. Sorry. A few of you may have got it. Thank you for my wife for laughing. Or the figure four leg lock or a camel clutch. Come here, let's just show them what a camel clutch is. They want to, no, not on me. What's your camel clutch, you know, some kind of awesome submission move like that. And what did they do? They'd hold it for a second, then pretty soon, I give, and the fight's over. Amen? That's how you alleviate a fight, guys. You submit.
Yep.
That's it. It's over. You can't fight with somebody who won't fight you. If you don't like fighting, stop fighting. Praise the Lord. How many times we just like have so much more God's peace? That's, by the way, is biblical instruction that could help you. You know? I am not saying put your spouse in a camel clutch. I'll show you later. Praise the Lord. Camel clutch. That was a good one. I actually had my own that I created back in the day, but yeah. Praise the Lord. It was a variation of the figure four, maybe, yeah, slightly. Yeah, anyways. For the figure four leg, oh, that was bad and brutal. I feel like you're breaking your leg right in half. It make you submit. That's why there's submission moves. Amen. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God. Hey, Jesus, sheep, and he talked, you know, farming and stuff like that. I got wrestling, all right? That's what I got. So you just got to, you got to kind of go with me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Do we have time? We ain't got much time. So I'm not going to get through all this. Praise the Lord. But I want to end you with this. God is not trying to destroy us. He gives us instruction to keep us from destroying ourselves. He is not trying to destroy us. He gives us instruction to keep us from destroying ourselves. I will close with these scriptures, Psalm 145, 8 and 9. Praise the Lord. This is our God, and we have to understand that. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and great in loving kindness. He's gracious. You know what graciousness is? Somebody bumps by you in the store or something like that, and you know, gracious is just like, oh, that's okay. It's no big deal. I know you didn't mean to do it, or maybe you even meant to do it. Maybe you're just having a bad day. Think about the heart of that. That's how God is. And that's why we should be that way too. He's merciful. You purposely did this against me. But that's okay. I'll forgive you because I'm going to be like my Father. Do you know why? Because all the opposite of these things, he shows us these things so we can be these things. Because the opposite of all these things are the hooks. The desire to fight, that's a hook. The desire to curse, it's a hook. The desire to hate, it's a hook. All these things are trying to hook you and lure you out of the protection of God. He's slow to anger, great in loving kindness. Loving kindness is a great word because it's very descriptive in itself. Loving kindness, wow. Praise the Lord, verse 9. Hallelujah. The Lord is good to all, and his mercies are over all his works. God's mercies can be found in everything that he creates. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Everything that he creates. His mercy is he's good to all, and his mercies are over all his works. Notice that two times in these verses, it talks about God's mercy. God is not trying to destroy you. Stop being so religiously controlled that you think that every time you do something wrong, that there's God's giving you some kind of consequence for it. That's not the way that it happens. But be wise and mindful of what sin does. Yes. If there's sin in your life, don't just blanket out thinking, well, God's judgment isn't coming today, so I'll be fine. Know that it's a hook trying to lure you out from his protection. And if you bite, you get hooked, you get lured out, and it's not his fault when you get into trouble. It's not his fault when you're in the frying pan. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. If we would follow God's instruction and we endeavor to do it, we would find the help that we need. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God is not trying to destroy us. He gives us instruction to keep us from destroying ourselves. Everything the flesh wants is not good. So learn to follow God. Praise the Lord. Learn to walk in his way. Learn to submit and yield to his truth. And watch how God does things in your life. Amen.